Welcome back to the Motion Students Podcast. Today we are joined with Stones Crossing Communications Director Dalton Cox. Don't forget that this Sunday night at 6 p.m. we're back on for Motion. So we would love to see you this Sunday night. Bring a friend. We're going to start the first Sunday of Advent. And so that will be our topic for Sunday night. Don't forget that the reason we do this podcast is because we want you to take a 15 to 20 minutes out of your week and kind of sit and listen to the guests that we throw on here and really devote that time to thinking about Christ, to think about faith. And it's a devotion that we would want you to have for study hall or want you to have for star class. And, we truly believe at Motion that we are getting truth all over the place from all other angles of life. People are throwing truth at you. And I want to give you an opportunity to hear myself and a person on staff just talk about truth, talk about our faith journey and the ebbs and flows that come with that. So, Dalton, thanks for jumping on here, man. And we're pumped to have you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be honest, when I was in high school, I remember study hall and star mostly being either me playing euchre with my star buddies,
yes,
or doodling on papers through study hall.
There
you go. I think this is super cool. This is a really, this is just a cool way to continue to, just always be thinking about what's most important. So
for sure,
super excited to be here and hope we can talk about some sweet things.
Yeah. First thing I want to ask you about, Dalton, this is nothing faith-based, kind of a goofy question for you. What's your favorite Christmas tradition that the Cox family has? Maybe this is something you've been doing for years, or this is kind of a recent thing that you guys have added in the last couple of years. What's one of your favorite Dalton Cox, traditions over the years?
Sure. I think we aren't quite as traditional as a lot of families. Like I see a lot of, very cool, mm-hmm, historic traditions from a lot of my friends and their families over the years. We aren't quite that traditional. But one of the things that we do every year, specifically with my mom's side of the family, is those candy cane striped pajamas?
Oh, yeah.
So since we were born, basically, we've been exchanging pajamas.
Okay.
So every year, as a Christmas Eve gift, everyone on the Thompson side of,
okay,
the Cox family, they exchange Christmas pajamas.
Okay.
And so it started with the candy cane striped pajamas, and so for, 7 or 8 years, we got those. And then it started to become a individualized thing. So each year, new people would buy the pajamas. And so you'd get different, different themes. Some of them would be cooler than others, some of them you'd get and you'd put right back in the box. And then other ones, yeah, I'm still wearing today. So
there you go.
Yeah, that's probably the most fun one. Just because it's real easy. It doesn't take too much, but it's just kind of a cool way to, yeah, remember that you got a lot of people around you.
Thinking about you,
yeah.
That probably also equates to you having 1,000 pairs of pajama pants.
Oh, way too many.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't even like pajamas that much. So a lot of times they go unused. But I always try around Christmas season.
You put the smile
on. I put them on, yeah, and I enjoy them. And
yeah,
I'm learning to embrace the pajama life.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go. One of my favorite traditions that the Calverts do is we do fast food Thanksgiving and fast food or Christmas. So my mom will send a text out the couple of days before our Thanksgiving get together and our Christmas get together for my brother and his wife and Shelby and I, and then of course my parents, and we just have a fast food feast. And so it's incredible. That's one of my favorite traditions is, you see all these awesome dinners and things like that. But sometimes you're just like, I kind of just want what I want. You know what I mean? I want the Panda Express. I want the fried chicken, the Beijing beef, and a ton of fried rice.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to chow, And some of us are more picky than others. But we just get to chow on the exact meal that you want. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So there's nothing quite like Christmas traditions. And so for the interview, I want to just kind of walk you through some questions that our Motion students, kind of sent in. And I asked Adam Trotter in an interview these very similar questions last week. So if you didn't get to check that out, students, go ahead and check that out at some point. But Dalton, let's kick it off with this. This is the question that most of the students, I actually got multiple questions about this, is as as you look back on your faith journey, okay, you know, maybe it started in middle school, in high school, whenever it started for you, how have you made it a point to keep Christian community along the past 10 to 15 years? You know, you probably had high school buddies that you really, really loved and really enjoyed. And maybe you still see some of them today, but that community probably looks a little bit different. How have you plugged in, if you will, consistently through, you know, high school, college, and now?
Okay. Yeah, that's a really good question. I think if I was being honest with you, I would tell you that the way that I understand what it means to keep community now is significantly different than what I understood in high school. Okay. But I would say that I had really good community in high school. And so I think if I were to go back to high school and tell you, you know, what kind of community did I have? Well, I hung out with pretty much everybody.
Okay.
And so it wasn't just that I had Christian community, but I had, you know, I played sports. Mm-hmm. I was really into art. I played a lot of video games. You know, I liked a lot of different music. I especially liked, you know, a lot of music that, you know, a bunch of other kids probably didn't like at the time. And so what that allowed me to do is allowed me to have connections with a lot of different people, right?
Cool.
And that was a good thing. But I think at that time, like, I just kind of assumed, you know, you just hang out with people and that's just what you do. And, like, it doesn't matter who they are. And there really wasn't too much intentionality around it. Like, okay. There wasn't really a goal in what I was trying to do with that community. And it wasn't until I started meeting on a weekly basis with the same guys. There's a group of guys that I met. And we kind of decided, like, as we were going into high school, we said, you know, we want to take our faith a little bit more seriously.
Okay.
And to be honest, we didn't know what that looked like. Like, we were freshmen in high school at the time. And so it's like, we had no idea. We just knew that it was important. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, well, we can start by meeting together a lot.
Yeah.
And so we just said, we're just going to get together a lot. And slowly over time, what happened was when you get a group of people that all want the same thing, even if they don't know exactly what it looks like.
Yes.
If you get a bunch of people that all want the same thing and you just spend time together, you're slowly going to start moving in that direction.
Yep.
And so that's really what happened is, you know, and I still had a lot of friends that weren't in that, you know, like that circle of people that were kind of moving in a direction saying, hey, our faith really matters to us. Mm. I still had a lot of friends that like weren't in that circle.
Sure.
I had people I was playing volleyball with, people I was playing basketball with, people I would, you know, come over and play Rock Band or Guitar Hero or, you know, Halo or whatever. So that was going on still. And like, I still had all of those friends, but the friends that I always came back to and the friends that were like at the foundation of who I was becoming were these people that said, hey, our faith matters to us and we want to take that seriously and we want to live that out. And we want that to be a defining feature of who we are. And so slowly over time, we just, even though we didn't know what that end goal looked like, we just said, that's what we're aiming for.
Yeah.
And thankfully, you know, God is really, really good and he takes the really poor, weak efforts of us and he covers over our weaknesses and he takes us to that place. And so that's really what happened in high school. And it has changed over time and it always does. And I think, you know, the way that my perspective has changed in recent years is that there's a season of life for different types of community. And I had to learn that in high school, you have all of this time to invest and be with people. And that isn't always the case. Mm. And so now looking back, I look at high school and I'm just so thankful that I did make the decision to actually take something seriously with some of my relationships with people.
Yes.
Because it's so much harder now and it's so much more difficult, not because people don't want it, because I think everyone wants it, but because there's just so much life that happens when you get out of high school. It gets really hard to really invest that way. And so if you don't learn it now in high school, I think you really miss an opportunity. It gets a lot harder to learn it after that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that helps answer kind of how I have community now, but in high school, that was really what that looked like.
Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said intentionality. I kind of came to a moment in my walk with Christ where it said I was a freshman in high school, and I had to decide that I wanted to be intentional about having community with other believers. And Acts 2:42 was always ringing true to me. It was the beginning of the church, and it said when all of these people came from different walks of life, it says that they had everything in common. And the only reason they had everything in common, if you look in Acts 2:42, is because they had the most important thing in common. Not because they played Centerville volleyball with Dalton, but they were all being intentional about one very, very important thing, and that was their faith. That was putting God first. And so when I kind of met my blended crew where, you know, 8 or 9 of us, but the half of them did this and half of them did that. No one of us did everything together. You know, we all came from different walks of life. We weren't best friends for our entire life. Some of us met our freshman year of high school. And so we had everything in common because we had the most important thing in common. And that really changed my community. Now, kind of a sub question, I guess I have. I think for our students in 2018 and 2019, intentionality is something that's really hard for us. You know, after being at Stones here for a year, I've noticed that, you know, the trend is very shallow relationships. And so how would you encourage our students to be intentional about having really, you know, meaty relationships, relationships that go past the tip of the iceberg, relationships that, you know, ask the tough questions. And because sometimes I ask, you know, students and they say, hey, you know, who's your 2 a.m. friend? Who are you going to call when you're at the end of yourself? And sometimes we don't have a friend that's that way. And how can you find Christian friends and be intentional about getting into a relationship like that?
Well, I think that, you know, there's a few different ways to answer that question. Even though it's going to sound like a church answer, I think that it's really important to iterate that, like, it starts with your heart. Mm-hmm. Like, it starts with you. So, like, I think there's a common misconception that a lot of people think they can't find Christian community because they can't find other people like them, or they can't find other people that love Jesus, or they can't find a mixture of those two things. Yeah. You know, either they're not enough like me, we don't have enough in common, or they're a lot like me, but they don't love Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem is you're making it about you. You're trying to find people like you. And that's not even the point of our faith, right? Yeah. Like the whole point of our faith is that we would become less like us and more like Jesus.
Yes.
And you look at Jesus in scripture, and Jesus had no problems connecting with anybody, right?
Yeah. Like especially those who had very little in common with him.
Exactly. Yeah. So if Jesus didn't have an issue making those connections, then the people of Jesus shouldn't have an issue making those connections. Anytime that you're having trouble finding community, it's because you're putting too much of yourself into the mix. You know, you're baking a cake, you're putting way too much of you into that cake, and it's coming out looking a lot like you.
Absolutely.
And that's not the goal. And like and honestly, what happens when you do that is you're selling yourself short because you think you want people that look like you. But you don't want people that look like you.
Absolutely.
Like that's not going to help you. That's not going to grow you. That's not going to encourage you. Even more than that, it's not going to bring out what's unique about you either.
Right.
Like if you find 5 to 6 other people that are exactly like you, it might be kind of fun to joke around, or like you might be able to get along really easily.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, any one of those people could take the spot or the role that you play in those friendships.
Yes.
You mean nothing to the friendship. You're just a placeholder.
Right.
But if you find a truly unique group of people that have just said, you know what, we're committed to each other, and it doesn't look like finding people that look like us. It looks like finding people that want what we want, and what we want is to become like Jesus.
Right.
That's when you're going to see that God has blessed you uniquely to bring something to the table for those people. And not only that, you're going to see that God wants to draw something out of you and grow you as a person. And so when those things start to happen, that's exciting.
Yes.
You know, and so like if I were to relate that to, you know, like let's take volleyball. Like if you got six volleyball players that were all hitters, but none of them could pass or set the ball.
You wouldn't be a good team.
You wouldn't be a good team at all. And more than that, you would be frustrated because the thing that you're good at, you're not able to ever do.
Right.
Because you never actually get the chance to do it.
Amen to that.
Right? And so what you need is not six hitters in the room. You need six people that can collectively do what they've been called to do.
Yeah.
And when that happens, each person has a role to play. And when you have a role to play, that's exciting.
Yes.
You know, that's something that can wake you up in the morning and you go, I have something worth doing.
Yes.
There's something to do today outside of classes, outside of homework, outside mm-hmm. of waking up way too early when the sun's not up yet, right. outside of, you know, coming home tired.
Mm-hmm.
That matters. I have something to do with my life that matters.
Right.
And I think that's where you have to start. Mm-hmm. Is you have to recognize that in yourself and say, am I looking for a community that looks like me, or am I asking God to bless me with community mm-hmm. where He can make me like Him?
Absolutely.
And until you're ready to ask that question, I think you're going to continue to struggle to find what you're looking for.
Yeah. No doubt. And I think that our the students that consistently show up to Motion, that it really is an assorted crew. It really is a crew that doesn't have everything in common, you know. And our fall retreat speaker this year, students, Michael Teller, is one of my best friends. And me and Michael and I really have, other than our professions now, but at the time as a freshman in high school, we really had nothing in common. I was a football player that went to Center Grove. And I had been dating Shelby for a little bit at the time. He was a single guy who had been homeschooled most of his life, but now going to Whiteland High School for the very first time. He played guitar and he could play basically any instrument, and he could listen to a John Mayer song and know the exact notes that are being played. We really didn't have anything in common, but we went to the same church, and we were both interested in an uncommon community. And that uncommon community meant I gave up some things and he gave up some things. And the whole entire group that we begin to meet with were intentional about saying, look, we want to go deep into one another's lives. We want to be praying for one another. We want to be asking each other, where are you at in your walk with Christ? How can I be praying? How can I be here for you? And so that, I appreciate you saying that, Dalton. That first step is really one of saying, okay, I don't want to be friends with everybody that looks just like me or acts just like me or does the exact same things as I do. You kind of got to step into the unknown. And when you do step into the unknown, that's where you can grow. That's where you can really have this community, this intentional community that we're talking about. So I really appreciate you saying that. The second thing, and I'm going to kind of combine the second and third question. The students ask, kind of, how do you share the gospel to those that do not believe, and how do you interact with those who kind of believe different than you did?
Yeah.
What would you say that looks like for you?
Those are two really good questions. I think the first thing that I would say in regards to how do I share the gospel with someone that doesn't believe what I believe, or even how do I interact with them, the starting point is I really think the most important thing that I can do is learn to love them for who they are first,
mm-hmm.
And recognize that my goal and my ultimate win is not to change them or
right.
to fix them.
Yeah.
Because if I could accomplish that, and if I do accomplish that, I am actually putting them in way more danger, you right. know, than if I had never convinced them of anything.
Right.
Because I've seen that play out. There were multiple times in high school where I got the wrong idea that the goal of me sharing the gospel was me converting people.
Right.
Or me getting, you know, so-and-so to stop drinking, or, you know, friend down the street to come to church for the first time. Like, those were like my benchmarks for success as a Christian.
Yeah.
And that's not really at all what God has called us to, and it's not the example that we see Jesus set in Scripture. And I think that's hard to wrestle with because as a Christian, you have to take a step back and say, okay, well then what am I trying to do?
Right.
And what you're trying to do, and what I've had to learn very slowly over time, is I'm trying to fall more in love with the gospel and the grace of Jesus Christ in my own life. And the more that I do that, the more appealing and beautiful and acceptable that's going to look to people that have no idea what it is.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we just get ahead of ourselves. You know, one of my, this was a quote I heard in high school that I've never forgotten. I was driving home from small group, actually, and I was in my car and I had the radio on. And I heard this guy and he said, "Sometimes we are so consumed trying to do ministry for Christ. Rather than pursuing Christ, we're pursuing ministry for Christ." Mm. And we actually miss Christ in the process.
Gotcha.
And so I think that sometimes in our interactions with non-believers, we find ourselves pursuing that ministry for Christ, you know, and we're getting really excited that, like, oh, this is something. And, like, I finally found somebody that doesn't believe, and, like, right. I'm going to talk to them. And we kind of put the cart before the horse, and we don't seek God in what's actually happening there. And I think if we did, we would see that God has a plan, and we think that just because it came across our perspective, that that plan's going to get executed right now.
Right.
Right in this moment, right in this season, it's going on. And I think that sometimes what God's trying to show us is that he's teaching us patience, and he's teaching us faithfulness, and he's teaching us to just be with him. And then the more that we are able to rest in him, the more we get to be with him in the work that's being done.
No doubt.
So here's a real life example of that. Actually, this week, I had breakfast two mornings in a row, both with non-believers, both with friends of mine. One of them, I co-own a fantasy football team. The other one, I play volleyball with on the weekends. And right now, the place that we are at, they both know that I love Jesus. They both know that I work in a church. And at some point, they've both heard the gospel. Mm. But it has not taken hold for them.
Gotcha.
And so this is what that looks like this week, right? I go and get breakfast with them. I ask them how they are. I find out what's going on in their life. I'm encouraging them. I'm listening. I'm telling them, hey, I'm going to be praying for you for that. And I'm challenging them when I can to ask them, you know, well, what do you think the purpose of that is? Or, you know, what do you think the goal is for that? Mm. Or where are you headed? And why are you headed that direction? Knowing that, you know, in the back of my mind, what I would say is I'm headed towards Christ.
Yeah.
And I'm headed towards deepening my relationship with Christ. And I'm looking for more understanding of his word. And I'm looking for, you know, a more intimate prayer life. And a lot of times those aren't the answers that I hear from them.
Right.
But it's my way of getting them to start thinking that way. Mm. Because eventually, and this happened actually this week, where one of them asked me, you know, like, well, what about you? And I was able to say that. And their response was, you know, yeah, I need to get into the church, right? And you could tell, like, that, like, they meant it sincerely, but obviously that wasn't what I was trying to communicate.
Yeah, for sure.
But at the end of the day, like, again, my goal isn't to convert them. My goal is to just continue to be there and continue to be prayerful and to continue to be patient and just keep asking God, like, God, if this is the time, show me. God, if this is the place, help me. Mm. You know, God, if this is the person, give me the words.
Yeah.
And if you approach it from that angle, it's always going to be difficult for you to feel like you missed the opportunity because you're seeking the opportunity every time you get it.
Absolutely.
So I think that's where you kind of have to go with that. You don't look at it as a, how do I come up with a way to make this something I can bring up in conversation?
Mm-hmm.
You don't come at it as a, how do I have the answers to the questions before they ask them. Those are good things to do, but it has to start with, you know, again, it's just, where are you at with your relationship with Christ? Are you relying on God?
Mm-hmm.
How can you expect to convince somebody else to rely on God if you're not even willing to rely on them when you're talking about him?
Amen. Amen. Dalton, I really appreciate you coming on here and giving us truth. I loved our conversation. Students, something I want to leave you with today is 1 Peter 1:8-9. And as the Christmas season comes, I know it's the cliche to say, you know, what's the reason for the season? But I really want us to find you know, really, truly, what are we going to be reminded of this month? And it's just about December. And so I want you to be reminded of this. It says this: though you have not seen him, speaking of Jesus, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice and are filled with an inexpressible joy that is filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith and the salvation of your soul. And so what I want you to be reminded of today is that this inexpressible joy that we find in Christ, it's just that. It's so good. It's so awesome that we it's sometimes hard to explain. And that the coming of Jesus, yes, you know, we talk about the December 5th, like the coming of Jesus is so exciting that we live with this joy that can't be taken by our circumstance. We live with this hope that can't be taken by what somebody says to us or what somebody does to us. But this joy is so contagious that it's so inexpressible that our lives are truly changed because of the hope and joy that Christ gives us. And so this Christmas season, I want to see a group of Motion students rallied around the gospel, focusing our eyes upon Christ and letting others see that joy and see that hope that we have in us. And so we thank you, Dalton, once again for jumping on here. Students, be filled with the Holy Spirit this week and be reminded of the joy that we have in Christ. Dalton, would you do the honor of praying for our students as we close?
Sure.
God, I just want to thank you for who you are, for the love that you've poured out on us, for the grace that you've given us through your Son, Jesus, God, and just for the opportunity that we have to not only share community with each other, but share community with you because of the way that you've brought us back and redeemed us. And God, I just pray that for the Motion students and just for the Motion family, God, that you would just continually draw all of them to you, God, that you would create community first with yourself through your Holy Spirit, and then, God, that you would pour that out into the people of Motion, and that you would create community there, and that because of the community that's formed at Motion, God, that there would be community formed outside of Motion. God, I pray that you would just make these students full-on believers in the power and the love and the grace and the mercy that you have and that you want to just pour out on us and that you want to pour out on other people, God, because when we believe that fully, oh, God, it's so hard to be the same person. Mm-hmm. And so, God, I pray that you would just change these kids, that you would change Luke and I, that you would just make us more like you and less like us so that we could connect with anybody that we meet at any time, God. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Motion students, you are loved. Go in peace.